Notice with me in John chapter 7 this morning. I want to read just one verse, and it's going to be in verse 24. And I want to title the message this morning, Judge Righteous Judgment. We wrote an article on this I have laying here by me in 2005, 19 years ago. And we preached a message on it in 2010, about 14 years ago. And this is a subject that comes up often. I just gave a friend of mine 10 articles last month on the article Judge Not, and so that they could hand it out, they were accused of being judgmental and pointing out sin. Notice verse 24, and this is the Lord Jesus. We'll get the context in just a moment. He said, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for, again, this privilege you've given us, another week, another day. Lord, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy holy word. We ask, Lord, that your presence to be with us, that you meet with us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you help us as we look at this important subject again. We ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read this a few times before we turn away. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. This verse speaks of righteous judgment, that which is according to God's word, is what he's saying. Now, as we come to the scripture, we find here and other places that it is a command that we judge righteously and correctly. It is not prohibited in the scripture. But we are to be very careful in our judgment, and that's the thing we want to look at here today. We as Christians sometimes are accused of being judgmental in the fact that we will show people how to be saved and show them that they're sinners, and we'll talk about the doctrines of the Bible. Many love to quote, that we'll turn to in a little bit, many love to quote Matthew 7:1. That's what we put on the front of this article, that and also John 7 here. But many love to quote Matthew 7:1, where it says, "Judge not that you be not judged." They never consider the next four verses. They never consider the context or other scripture. In other words, they use that in order to say that you can never speak against sin or never talk about anything. The world will use it to try to silence you and I. Now notice this again, and we're going to back up to verse 1, read verse 24 again. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now notice with me as we back up to verse 1, and I just want to kind of consider the context of John chapter 7. We're going to find that as we read a few verses through this chapter, we're going to find that the Lord Jesus was judged falsely by the Jews who wanted to kill him. One reason was because he had healed a man that we read about in chapter 5. He had healed that man on the Sabbath day. And so they wanted to kill him. They had judged him falsely, and that's the reason we have John 7 and verse 24, that we're not to judge according to appearance, but we're to judge righteous judgment. Now notice as we come back, I'm just going to skip around just a little bit. Notice as we come back to verse 1 and 2. It said, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry," that is in the south, Judah and Jerusalem, "because the Jews sought to kill him." Notice what it means we come to verse 11 and 12. He said, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?' And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, 'He is a good man.' Others said, 'Nay, but he deceiveth the people.'" Notice with me as we come down now to verse 14. I'm going to read from verse 14 through verse 23, and this really shows us the context. Again, the context is Jesus is falsely accused by some of the Jews, and so he rebukes them. He exposes them, and they needed to consider their harsh and sudden judgment of the Lord Jesus. Now notice as we begin in verse 14, he said, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "He how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" In other words, that is, he evidently did not attend their schools. It says in verse 16, it says, "And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And we need to be the same in believing the scripture, and especially when we make discernments and judgments and decisions. He said in verse 7, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, that the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why do you go about to kill me?" And he says in verse 20, "The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." So we've seen that expression three or four times. They wanted to take his life. And again, a lot of it was over the fact that he healed a man on the Sabbath day. Verse 21, "Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel." And I'm assuming that one work is the healing of this man. He said in verse 22 and 23, "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the Father, and the fathers rather, for instance, like Abraham. And he says, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." In verse 23, "If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" In other words, they accused him of sin for healing this man on the Sabbath day, and yet they could circumcise on the Sabbath day, and it was not the breaking of the law. In other words, if a child's born 8 days later, they're going to circumcise the child. That was a part of the Mosaic law. It's actually before the Mosaic law, and so it would not be a sin to perform that particular duty on the Sabbath. And the Lord is saying it's not a sin to heal a man on the Sabbath either. Now we come to our verse in verse 24 again. And he says here in verse 24, he says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." In other words, this is a rebuke against those Jews that wanted to take his life and accuse him of doing wrong on the Sabbath day. Now, some of the things, quite a few of the things I'm going to say this morning are said in the article, but the word judge here, and let's look at the balance in this one verse before we go to Matthew. Let's consider the balance that we have here. We have a negative and a positive. The negative is, he said, "Judge not according to appearance." The positive of this is, "But judge righteous judgment." Now, the word judge, and again, a lot of this is going to be in the article, the word judge means to weigh carefully and form an opinion, as in 1 Corinthians 11:13. It also means to consider, as in Hebrews 11 and verse 11. And it also means to draw a conclusion, as here in John 7 and verse 24. But it also means to pass sentence. And I forgot to give you Luke 7, verse 43. That's drawing a conclusion. And to pass sentence would be like here in verse 24. As we come to the scripture, we also find that it also means to discern, to try, that is to test, to condemn, to give a verdict, to examine, to decide, to give a sentence, to distinguish, and or to come to a decision or conclusion. The Greek word for judge is translated many ways in English. One of those is condemn, and then avenge, decree, go to the law, to determine, and there's some other words, I believe. So when we come to this passage, when we judge, and by the way, we do judge daily, whether we realize it or not. We just need to make sure when it comes to especially spiritual matters that we're judging righteous judgment. We judge every day. We decide. That's what it means to judge. We make a conclusion as to what we're going to eat. You've done that this morning. And also what you're going to wear to church. You made a decision. You made a judgment as to what you would or would not wear. We make judgments as to where we're going to go, when we're going to go, places we're going to go. We make judgments when we choose our friends, and we make judgments and decisions when we how to spend our money. So we are making a certain amount of decisions and judgments every day. We're weighing out the thing and seeing what is right and what is wrong and what is best for us. So we're doing this every day. Now, in our passage, and I love the way the Lord said this and the way it's laid out, we have, first of all, the negative, and then we have the positive. So there is a right way to judge, and there is a wrong way to judge. Now, let's look at the negative, first of all. He said, the first part of this verse, judge not according to appearance. The negative is that we're not to judge superficially. We are not to judge based upon what we think we see or what we assume something to be. Our judgment is always to be based upon facts, and of course those facts are the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, the reason I backed up and read from verse 14 to 23, He spoke of the fact that His doctrine was not His own. It was from heaven, from the Father, and we are to be the same way. Now, Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and the surrounding text tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And He clearly tells us not to lean unto our own understanding. And that's the idea here. We're not to judge according to appearance. We're to be very careful of this. Notice in John 8, the next chapter over, verse 15 and 16. He said in verse 15 and 16 of John 8, He said, "You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." So He came to do the Father's will. His doctrine that He is teaching is the same doctrine in heaven that was given to Him by the Father. So we are to not judge according to appearance. We're not to assume things without facts and bring about decisions and conclusions and judgments in our life. To give you an example of this, in Job 16:1, Job's friends were called miserable comforters. We preached an entire sermon a number of years ago titled that, Miserable Comforters. But what is interesting, that Job's friends, they came. You remember all the things that came into Job's life, all the losses and the health issues and from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all the things that happened unto him. His friends came. That's a good thing. And they came and they sat down. They grieved with him and mourned with him and sat with him for 7 days. That's a beautiful thing to come and just be there. But the problem was they opened their mouth. That was the problem. They began passing judgment upon Job. In other words, they assumed Job had received all of these things, the calamities that come upon him, that they assumed he was chastened by God because of his sin. And we know that Job wasn't living in sin. And so they assumed this. They passed judgment. They were fine for 7 days. But when they opened their mouth, they sinned against God. And not only that, the devil, in Job chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, the devil also passed judgment. You remember what he said? He basically said that Job only serves you for gain. In other words, Job, if you'll take away his wealth and then later, obviously, his health, said he'll not serve you. The devil was passing judgment. He was judging according to appearance. He did not know what he was saying. And so we find, again, that's a good example of what he's talking about here. Another example will be in 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 and 7. We find that the Lord sent Samuel, the prophet, after King Saul is rejected as leader. He sent Samuel to Jesse's house, and he's going to be anointing one of his sons to become the second king of the nation of Israel. And what we find there is that the Lord said this, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but he said, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so there were seven sons that was passed in front of Samuel. And Samuel was thinking, well, it's the oldest son. And he might have been the strongest son. But the Lord was basing everything on the heart. And we find that the of all these sons, I think there's seven of them that pass by, and God said, these are not the ones. And so Samuel talked to Jesse, and he sent for David. And so what we find here is that the Lord chose not the oldest or the strongest or the tallest, but he chose the youngest, David, to become the king over Israel. In other words, the Lord says that he looks not on the countenance, that is, on the appearance, the face and whatever, nor the height of the individual. And so again, that's another classic example. Even Samuel was thinking that the eldest, this has got to be the one, and God said, it's not the one. He said, man, again, looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So now, notice, read this again, the first part. He said, judge not according to appearance. So that's where we've got to be very, very careful in judgment. Then let's look at the positive now. He said the positive here, the latter part of the verse, second clause. He said, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, we're to judge all things based upon the Holy Scripture. We're to judge everything based upon what God has said to us in His Word. And again, that's the reason I went back, especially verse 16 and 17. And Jesus only spoke the doctrine of the Father. In Acts chapter 5 and in verse 28, the apostles, they said, we rather obey God than man. In other words, they believed the Word, they preached the Word, they lived the Word. In other words, everything was based upon that. And if we never formed judgments as to what is true and false, how could we embrace the one and avoid the other? And that's the ideal. That this is a wonderful verse. Keep it in mind. If anybody ever gives you Matthew 7:1, we're going to turn in just a moment. If anybody ever gives you that, right here is the balance, and they do not contradict one another. We said in verse 24 again, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 7 and notice here. Matthew chapter 7. Now let's read just one verse and then we'll put the context with it in just a moment. He said here in verse 1, and again, many people that are lost don't care anything about the Bible. They know this verse. Judge not that you be not judged. I've had it used on me. I know of many Christians that have had it used on them. And there's even some professing Christians that will tune in on this as well and completely ignore the context. They'll lift it up out of its context. So he said in verse 1, he said, judge not that you be not judged. We find that this, I believe it's the same Greek word for judge as we find in John 7:24. It's the same truth. There is no contradiction, but we got to take this in the light of its context. So when he says, judge not that you be not judged, this is a warning here against unlawful judgment. It prohibits a condemning critical spirit toward other people. And now let's read from verses 1 through 5. And I want you to notice as we read this, he is dealing here with a hypocritical judgment. He even uses the word hypocrite in verse 5. So he's not saying that you can never judge, you can never come to conclusions, you can never make decisions or form an opinion. He's not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to form an opinions and those kind of things as long as it's according the Word of God. So the context is dealing with hypocritical judgment. These verses are addressed to a hypocrite, not someone who loves God's Word and wants to discern truth from error. So let's read these together. He said in verse 1 through 5, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet," that word meet has the idea of what we dish out, or what, in other words, to give out by measure. That's the idea there. So he said in verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And so here we find that he's dealing with hypocritical judgment. In other words, someone pretending to be free of fault and judging someone else when they're really more guilty than the other person. And that's the ideal that we find here. Now, in verse 2, coming back to verse 2, he said, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." In verse 2, God is dealing with us as we deal with other people. In other words, we're not to be hypocritical in that. We're going to receive the same judgment if we judge wrongly or according to appearance. But notice in verse 3 and 4 again, he says here in verse 3 and 4, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will they say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye?" We find here in this passage that we are to judge ourselves. Now think about this. We're to have self-examination before we consider even thinking about judging someone else. We're to judge ourselves. We're examine ourselves. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us to examine ourselves. So we find here that Jesus is basically saying, as he did in John 8, "Who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And you know the story there with some of the Pharisees. Think about this, David. David was ready to put to death a man who had stolen his neighbor's lamb, and yet he was guilty of the sins of murder and adultery. Amen. And when the prophet came to him and gave him this story, and he made a decision, he made a judgment, he come to a conclusion, and the prophet Nathan said unto him in 2 Samuel 12, "Thou art the man." So David was guilty of far more than the story that the prophet had given to him. And that's the idea here, Romans 2. Many of the Jews would criticize the Gentiles for certain sins, and still yet they were guilty of some of the same sins. Well, notice the two words that we find in verse 3 and 4, the mote and the beam. The mote here is like a speck or a splendor, like a piece of dust or any tiny particle. And then the word beam here is like a large piece of wood, like a branch, or we could say today a 2x4. And we must first take care of our own sins in order to be able to help others with their sins. And that's the point that he's getting across here. It's not that we can never, ever form opinions, come to conclusions, or again, if you sit down and ever witness to somebody, you're going to be telling them about how to be saved, and if they don't get saved, that they'll end up in hell. And so that's, you know, you're passing judgment that you bring for the Word of God upon their sins, and you'll show them their destiny if they don't get saved. Now, many resent that when you talk to them, but we have every right to do so. And so when we come here and look at this, we must first take care of our own sins before we can ever be a help to anybody else. Now, this is where I want to quote from this. And with this passage here, I'm just quoting from the article, some of this, my own words, some of its other writers. But I put in here with Matthew 7:5 with the word hypocrite. I was dealing with a self-righteous brother. I put in here, this is the word, this same word rather, hypocrite, is used of the Pharisees who set themselves up as judges of other people. As one writer put it, they do this while they themselves were outwardly clean but inwardly filthy. The writer goes on to state that the word hypocrite was not used of those guilty of the scarlet sins of society who did not appear to be self-righteous. In dealing with the pride of the Pharisees, the writer further states, flesh sins destroy the body, spiritual sins destroy the spirit. He's dealing with a pharisaical kind of attitude here, a self-righteous attitude. Now, I go on to say in this, while God abhors all sins, he looks with most disfavor on sins of the spirit, pride, prejudice, and judgment of others, and hypocritical judgment is condemned. And the last part of verse 5 commands sincere and honest judgment. And so, again, what is a hypocrite? It's simply a play actor pretending to be something that he is not. So Matthew 5, when it's taken in its context, it's dealing with hypocritical judgment. That's very plain, and many just read over this, and they never even get a hold of it. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, let's talk about judgment just for a moment. In verse 3, we're to judge ourselves. In verse 6, I'm not going to read this, but we can judge the lost. He said we're not to cast holy things before the dogs and not to cast pearls before swine. And so he's referring to the lost. We're not to waste our time with people that hate God's word of, you know, giving them all the truths of God's word. If they reject salvation, we're not obligated to give them, you know, the truths of God's word. In other words, they'll just trample it underfoot, as he says. But also, when we read verses 15 through 20, we are to have discernment and be able to judge when it comes to false prophets. So there's three things in the passage, in the chapter, that we are to judge. So notice now with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's many other verses, and I hope that I put most of those in the article that we could go to. I just want to keep this simple here this morning and keep it limited. I will refer to 8 or 10 verses in just a moment. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to see here in this passage, he that is spiritual judges all things. What do we mean by this? We find that expression in verse 15. But I want to begin reading in verse 9 and read through verse 16. In the context, he's speaking of judgment and discernment of those who are mature in the faith. Now notice as we begin reading in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." Now notice as I read, several times he mentions the Spirit or the Holy Ghost in several of these verses. Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that is the man that is lost, unregenerate, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ in the sense we have the Spirit of God in us, the new birth, and also we have the Scripture before us, because the Scripture reveals to us the mind of the Father and the Son. Amen. Now, come back with me to verse 15. In verse 15, he said, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, himself is judged of no man." So he that is spiritual, in the context, we find judgment and discernment is a sign of maturity. How do we know this? Notice as we come to chapter 3, I'm just going to read the first three verses. The Apostle Paul will elaborate on this beginning in verse 4, but I just want to read the first three verses. And notice he said in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," that is immature and fleshy, "and even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men?" So we find that there were some in the church at Corinth that were not spiritual as they ought to be. They did not have discernment. They were spiritual babies, even though by this time they should have been full grown in the faith. So we find here that some did not have discernment, and they could not form good opinions and good judgments. And as we read through this book, we'll find that, and I'm just going to make mention of this in chapter 5. In chapter 5, there was sin in the church, and the church was not dealing with it. And the Apostle Paul, as a matter of fact, it was fornication. And so he's writing to them about dealing with this. He said they were puffed up, and basically they were just ignoring it and letting it go. And the Apostle Paul, in chapter 5, he says in verse 3 that he had already made a judgment. And he told them, as a matter of fact, the word judge is used in verse 3, verse 12, and verse 13. Paul had made a judgment, and he said, you must deal with this. And they were, in verse 12, they were to judge those things that was within the church. In other words, they were to pass judgment, make decisions, and have discernment. And then it says in verse 13, but them that are without, God judges. In other words, those that are lost. So we have the word judge mentioned three times here, and they were to deal with sin in the church. They were to make decisions, pass judgment. They were to deal with this. They were to have discernment, and some of them did not have that discernment according to chapter 3. And then again, I'm not going to read here either, but when you turn to chapter 6, The first 8 verses, I think you find the word judge 6 times in just those 8 verses. He's speaking of them about a matter of someone taking someone else to court, going to the unjust. In other words, carrying people to court. And he's saying in verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the smallest matters? In other words, they were to pass judgment. They were to deal with these things. They were to come to conclusions. They were to have discernment and not be carrying one another to the world's court of law, but they're to fix things in the church in a proper manner. And he goes on to talk about that in these first 8 verses. And this is why that we find in Matthew 16, 19, that judgment was given to the church of Christ from the very beginning. He gave them the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16, 19. And then you'll find in chapter 18 that there was a matter that they were to deal with in the church, and they were to come together and they were to have discernment in that. They were to be able to make decisions. Well, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 13. But let me give you a few other verses if you're taking notes, or you can pick the article up. I think most of these will be in it. But in 1 Corinthians 10:15, the Apostle Paul said to the church, judge what I say. In other words, form an opinion. Think about it. Have discernment. Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10, he's telling the church that they need to increase in judgment. In other words, be able to prove excellent things, to know what is right and wrong, what is true and false. In 1 John 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, they were to try the spirits inside of men. You read the first 3 verses there. The word try means to judge. And he's dealing with the fact of false teachers. You're to be able to discern and make a decision and judge in this. And he said, you do it according to the scripture. And they would be able to know whether someone was false or whether they were true. In 2 John verses 7 to 11, they were to be able to judge, and the word judge is not used there, but judge between those who do and those who do not bring the true doctrine of Christ to them. Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14, we are to judge between good and evil. He actually uses the word discern instead of judge there. In Psalms 119, I believe it's verse 66, the writer, David, says, teach me good judgment. In other words, they wanted spiritual perception. They wanted spiritual discernment. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Romans 16:17, you're to mark, identify, make a decision, make a judgment with those who are contrary to the doctrine, and he says, avoid them. We need discernment in that. And again, I gave you this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:13, we are to judge our own selves. That's the first thing we're to do, is examine our own hearts and judge our own selves so that we don't become hypocrites when we need to talk to others or try to help others. Now, we are not to be hypocritical in our judgment. We already talked about that. When I preached a sermon in 2010, was that been 14 years ago, I dealt with hypocritical judgment. I dealt with hasty judgment, and also dealt with presumptuous judgment, and I dealt with unscriptural judgment. And this is important. We're not to be hypocritical, not to be hasty, not to be presumptuous or be unscriptural in our judgment. In other words, we are to investigate things. We are to pray about things. And what do I mean by investigating? We're to investigate things before we judge a matter. And if we were to do that, we would be imitating God. Because think about this, in Genesis 11, remember the Tower of Babel? The Bible tells us that God came down to see, and then later he came down to judge. Well, God didn't have to come down. I think he said that for our benefit. But he investigated it and come to the conclusion that they were wrong. Of course, God already knew that, but he's given that for us. He came down and investigated the tower, and then he scattered. He scattered them and confounded their languages. We also find another story where God came down, and that will be in Genesis 19, where two angels came to Sodom. You remember that? They came. The Lord sent these angels. They came and investigated this. And you know the end story of that is that Sodom was destroyed. So God investigated these things. And it's very easy for us to be hypocritical, to be hasty, to be quick, and be presumptuous, and also be unscriptural when we form opinions and we bring about discernment and judgments. So we've got to be extremely careful never to believe gossip, never to believe rumors, never to believe hearsay, only stick with the facts of the Word of God. Amen. Now we're going to read here and read one other in Galatians, and we'll see in Galatians that we better approach this whole thing with a spirit of meekness. We better have humility and meekness because we can fall into the same trap. Now, here I want to read the first five verses of Luke 13. And what this came to mind this week when I was preparing this. Matter of fact, I jotted down a few notes back in March, especially after carrying the 10 articles to a friend of mine. They said, I want an article. Do you have anything on this? I said, yes. So I gave them an article. They copied some and said, can you give me some more? So I carried 10 to them because they were speaking about certain issues in our country, sodomy, abortion, things, different things like that. And they were being criticized even by professing Christians. In other words, you're condemning. Judge not that you be not judged. And so I started thinking about this again when I carried those articles. And I thought, well, I need to preach on this again. And this Sunday just seemed to be the Sunday to do that. And it's just extremely important, again, that we do speak the truth, but we speak it in love, as in Ephesians 4. But we make sure that God is in the words that we speak. Now, we're going to be reading Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Oh, I just about forgot. I think it was 2007. This passage became real to me, and I used it in a sermon and in an article titled Natural Disasters. Now, we know that God is involved in everything. I don't remember what I subtitled it, but I actually used this text in that we got to be very, very careful when we pass judgment. Again, Job's friends, this has come upon you because you've sinned. The devil, well, he's only serving you because that he's got wealth and all these things going for him in life. See, those were presumptuous judgments. Now, this passage here is a warning, verses 1 through 5. This is a warning against passing judgment on those who have experienced certain calamities, like Job, and we don't understand the whole story. In other words, it's easy for something to happen to somebody, and we say, well, I wonder what they have done, why this has come upon them. And so these five verses, they're a warning. And what we're going to read about here, there's two events that were familiar, well known to the public in the first century, in the days of the Lord Jesus. There's some Galileans who were killed by Pilate while they were worshiping. And there was 18 that were killed when a tower fell on them. The Lord Jesus twice here makes a statement about repentance. And what we find here is that he's saying to them that these people were not sinners above others, yet they suffered these things. So even what we perceive, what we see, or things that come up on other people, we better be very, very careful. It might be a Job. It might be a Paul, you know, that these things are upon them, not because they have sinned. And so as we read this text, and especially verse 3 and 5, the question is not why they suffered these calamities. The question is, why are we not punished? For no one is innocent, all are sinners. So that's the real question. So let's read this, and we'll go and close in Galatians. He said, beginning in Luke 13:1, there were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And they answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? Verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Verse 4 and 5, of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So again, when we talk about judgment, I mean, even that we that are saved, we that are trying to walk in the Spirit and walk according to God's Word, we have to be extremely careful in the discernment that we think we have and in the judgments that we make. I mean, we have to be extremely careful about that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. There's a lot more I could say about this, but we're going to bring her to a close here. I think I've said enough. Notice in Galatians 6, and we'll close with the first three verses of this chapter. And the reason I want to close here is because we're going to see that let all things be done, especially in our judgment, let all things be done with a spirit of meekness. We got to be extremely careful. As a matter of fact, one writer put it this way, and I really like this, it's so true. He said, if you find fault, the attitude with which you find fault can be worse than the fault you find. Amen. Well, that'll make you think. And that's very scriptural, even though it's a quote from another man. And so we got to approach these kind of things, again, very humbly and with meekness and seeking the Lord's will. Now notice as we read the first three verses of Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. I've seen that word several times in 1 Corinthians 2, and I commented on chapter 3 and chapter 5 and chapter 6. So, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So as we approach this whole subject, coming back to our first verse, judge not according to appearance. There's the negative side. Positive side is judge righteous judgment. And so if we will be obedient to that, I think if we approach it humbly and with meekness, with much prayer, much thought, much investigation, especially from God's Word, I think that we can be a success in our judgment. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your mercy and love to us. Lord, we thank you for your Word that helps us, Lord, not only to become a Christian, but to be obedient to you in this Christian life. Lord, I pray that we all this week would think upon these things, and we ask all of this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.